All right. Ladies and gentlemen, another episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. Sammy here with Anthony, Joey, and Zook.
Hey now.
What episode are we?
This is my first episode of the year, guys.
We are episode 181. And Zook, this is your second episode of season four.
Yeah.
I'm saying of the hockey season. Yes, we started earlier, but I'm saying game one. Wait a second.
But this is our first.
The last show.
This is our first episode for all
since
of us.
The season started. No. Yeah. Yes.
It was an episode last week.
They did a preview.
It was a season preview. Okay, but that's what I meant. I'm saying it's my first.
He's trying to cover that he's wrong.
Okay, whatever.
Look at it's confusing. He's just waiting for us to finish.
I love you all.
Are you guys done debating this?
Yes.
All right, get back to your intro.
No.
It's funny. It's like we all had a season opening episode where the six of us were here, and now you're like, it's your first. No, it's your second. No,
it didn't count for me because that was preseason. But yeah,
it doesn't matter. It's still our season. This talk about the Curfew Boys, not the Montreal Canadiens season.
Such a sentimental beauty.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
At least none of us have a bad knee. Am I gonna start segueing it?
Too soon. I just wanted to say, Adrian couldn't make it, and my cousin Chris is gonna show up probably midway through this episode. But yeah, Joey, thanks.
Hold on. Sorry, Sam. I don't mean to cut your intro, but I have to say this is important because I got some messages today in regards to our fundraiser. We will be putting a post this week, tomorrow, to advise you all that we are postponing the event. It is not canceled, so keep it in mind that we're still having this event, but October 21st, which is this Saturday, will no longer be our fundraiser. It will be pushed for the month of February. Details to come soon, but just want to let you know, do not show up to the rink on Saturday because there's no event. Because two people messaged me today saying, hey, what time does it start on Saturday? I'm like, shit.
It's Saturday.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And please take Anthony seriously, even though he's wearing that.
No.
We'll talk about that later, but let's talk Habs.
It's very true. What are you wearing, Anthony, by the way?
A Patriot. What do you think?
I don't know. It looks like shit to me.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's the Habs colors, though.
It's still
the bleu blanc rouge.
It's true. All right. So yes, it is. What are we? Today we're Monday, and I think Habs Nation woke up with a nice kick in the balls about an injury update, as if we didn't have enough of that last season. Kirby Doc has suffered a significant injury, one that will likely put him out for the season long term. Doesn't mean he's out for the season. We don't know yet. But about a couple of hours ago on Twitter, Eric Engels tweeted this. Initial word I'm receiving on Canadiens Kirby Doc is he has a torn ACL plus a torn MCL in his knee. There are more tests being done, and we'll wait for Habs to officially confirm once they've received all the info. But this puts Doc's season at risk if it ends up being the case. I don't know about you guys, gentlemen, your men, or the other men of this fan base. I don't know if you would rather get kicked in the balls or receive this news. I'd rather get kicked in the balls so Kirby Doc would be healthy this season. This is just me personally, especially seeing the preseason that Kirby Doc had, officially labeling himself a centerman. And for once that I felt super comfortable knowing that our center was Nick Suzuki and then Kirby Doc following.
We had this conversation last episode in regards to who would be the number one centerman.
I know. And
we'll answer this question. That answers the question. It's Suzuki.
It's like Juraj Slafkovský told the members of the media. It's fucking terrible in his actual words.
It's absolutely fucking terrible. It's the worst thing that could happen two games into the season.
So
horrible.
It's fucking shit. And like, so yeah, goes okay.
That's what I've been saying all along. It's like, we don't even deserve to have an elite talent. They'll play two games and they're fucking dead. It's like, even if he would have drafted Bedard, he would have been smashed. It's the Habs curse. I'm telling you, it's the fucking curse. Somebody up there, he turned into a fucking Toronto fan. I'm sure, like, one of the Habs gods turned to a Toronto.
We were all excited.
And now we're feeling it. Now we're feeling the wrath of this fucking ghost.
We were all excited about having Ramsey as the one of the athletic trainers, right? It's Ramsey's last name, the guy from New York.
New York,
yeah. And but this is nothing any athletic trainer can do. This is just plain bad luck.
Yeah.
And he's going to be out for probably the season. So there goes your top two centermen who played well in the first two games, right? And yeah, it's a big blow. This is where Monahan and guys like, we got New Hook. This is where they're going to have to step up, take a spot. You're but
relying on Monahan, though?
No, well, but Zoom, we are cursed. I will agree, as much as, you know, the Habs last year and 2 years ago was nice for trying to get first overall, whatever the case is. Now, from what I wanted to see was progression from players go from one level and bring it to the next, even if they don't make playoffs, even if they come bottom eight. I don't care about the players around them, the players that are getting older, the Gallagher, Savards, even the Armia when he was there, like, they're trending downwards. It's these type of players. I want them to trend upwards and like, okay, in two years.
Kirby box.
Yeah.
Exactly. In 2 years, when you have these guys, they brought it to another level. They know they can show it. You fill them around with Leighton Hudson coming, Mayu, Ryan Backer, who is hurt, which we'll talk about, I assume, after. even some of the Laval guys who have brought great depth. And now, it's
Emil Heinemann's injured too, by the way.
Yes, he is.
I don't get it, man. Like,
it's three. It's literally every level you're talking
about. But are we the only team that has this issue? Because it seems to be the case. Like,
I'm sure there's other teams, but it's... I don't know. I don't know if it happens at this scale. I really don't.
I don't understand. It's frustrating, to be honest.
I hope they don't take a step back from it. I'm talking about the guys I want to see. Again, I want as much as everybody else to, you know, have a, well, I won't say everybody else, to have a, you know, have a good pick and a good future coming up, which I think we will.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a season, and I'm the tank one. I'm the one that wants them to tank. I know I'm on probably the wrong side of this, whatever. But this was a season is, if they were to come 8th, 9th, 10th last, or even 5th or 6th, but these players, including Doc, would take it to another level, that's all I wanted was this sort of progression.
And that's and that's what I said in the last episode, where this season I don't care about playoffs. I don't care about tanking. I don't care about anything. All I care about this year is seeing all these players play together, the excitement of watching these guys play, and everybody take it to the next level, like the Suzuki, the Coffee, the Doc. Now, yes, it's unfortunate that we have, you know, this crazy injury, because we all said it. You know, we won that trade with the Kirby Doc and
we Romano, won every trade.
Right? Yeah. You know? And now it's like, is this going to be a flop in the sense that, yes, he's injured the whole season. Will he come back next year? Will he be a better player? Or is this injury going to cause him for the future?
Those are the above. Yeah.
It's a lot of variables, especially knee injuries, right? I mean, I'm a huge soccer fan, and you see a lot of them, a little more probably in soccer, and you never know what type of player you'll get when they come back from an ACL and an MCL tear.
Price, dude, it shortened his career by 5 years.
Yeah, but does it help?
Does it happen in 2015?
Does it help that Doc is still young enough to recover quickly? Let's say he gets a surgery. Let's say he needs surgery. He's 22.
Yeah, but Price was young too when he got that injury too.
What was he? 2015? He was in his mid 20s.
He was a little older. He was close to 30.
Did he only tear his ACL?
He was like 26, Sammy.
But when did it happen?
In 2015.
2015, 2016.
Price 10 years ago. So he's 35 now. So he was 25 then.
Yeah.
It's close.
Ish. Like more or less. He was in his 20s.
He had to have been 27, 28. That was his prime. That's usually when a goaltender reaches their prime.
That's a good 6-7 years on Doc.
Exactly. It's different.
In sports, that's a big gap. That is a very big gap. But, 6-7 years. But did he only tear his ACL?
Look. Price? There's not no
confirmed yet.
There's
no. I'm talking about Price.
Price.
He was 27. You're right. 27 years old.
I don't know if it was ACL or MCL. I really, really don't remember.
Because him, he tore both, Doc. And that's what I'm saying. Some guys, Sam, you know, you're asking about coming back or not. I know it's a different sport, but like I said, athletes, some guys are on Doc's age, come back, never the same. Some guys come back and it's like the injury never happened. You really don't know. It depends how rehabilitation goes. But if I was them, if they have an ACL, some players heal in 6 months, some heal in 9, but even in 6 months, like Caulfield, again, I don't expect Montreal to be anywhere in an important playoff spot. Maybe Kent Hughes thinks otherwise, but I think we should just shut him down for the season. And it sucks. Yeah. It's an ex-Hab player that injured him.
Fucking Tenorti, man.
It was a simple hockey play. Tenorti was trying to, you know, take the body and going towards the boards. It's just the way Doc jumped onto the boards. I think like his leg stayed still, pinned up against Tenorti while the rest of his body was moving.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's a freak accident that there was definitely no intent. There was nothing.
No.
There was nothing malicious about the hit. It was just a freak accident.
But although Sam, it's a big, it's a big loss, and it is.
Oh, 1,000%.
I think Hughes set up the team to at least be able to cover to still play.
That's some what I was going to say.
Hockey with look, you got Newhook and Monahan. It's still not bad, and from what people seen in Newhook, but we saw it at wing, not at center. It's still a difference. It looks pretty good so far.
Preseason, he did some center work though. In preseason.
Preseason. Well, okay, so
he was centering some lines.
Speaking of Newhook, now it's official that he's going to be the second line center. The Canadians brought him in. Well, here's the thing. So here's my question. Do you keep Newhook at center? Where does Monahan go if you do when Christian Dvorak comes back? Or do you think if Doc's season is terminated, he's out, you put him on LTIR, does that allow Kent Hughes to maybe make some kind of trade?
I don't think he should be aggressive, not now. You don't know how the season's going to go unless you can get somebody that doesn't tie you in for past this year.
Yeah,
I don't see any reason to make a move now. Where this team's gonna go. Sorry, Angle.
No, sorry. I think I cut. But I think there is something brewing right now in regards to the whole goalie situation. So maybe with this whole situation with Doc, they can add a package.
I think they're gonna evaluate Newhook at center first.
Yeah. But what happens when Dvorak comes back now?
Okay, so now when I personally think.
I think Newhook goes back to wing. Dvorak only plays center.
I'd like to see.
What if he plays really well center, though?
And you know what? I think what will happen is you have. Actually, that is a good question. No, I like Newhook at center, and I really like that they put Josh Anderson to the second line because him and Newhook had chemistry during the preseason. So now Raphael Harry-Pinard is going up on the first line with Suzuki and Caulfield. Amazing. I like this try.
This team is so freaking dynamic though, and like versatile. Like I've never
yes.
If there's a team that could absorb the loss of a player like Corby's Doc, it's this lineup right now.
It could be. Yeah, well, but
that's what I think.
Yeah,
I think out of all the years, it's this year is the most solid. Yeah, exactly.
But I think, I truly think Ken Hughes acquired Newhook, re-signed Monahan for something like this in case of an injury, but yet he knows that a guy like Newhook could play on the wing, even though he was a bit of a centerman during Colorado, but he knows this is pro scouting. This is what they have to do. I think Hughes better prepared this lineup in case
I agree
these injuries happen. So what I really want is what I'm really happy to see is this call it a trial period for now until Christian Dvorak comes back. I'm happy to see Newhook paired up with Slafkovský and Anderson. At a couple of times, they look good together. Those three play together. They look good in the preseason. I think Rafael Harvey-Pinard deserves that promotion. But when Dvorak comes back, that third line center, which is being occupied by Sean Monahan, I want to see. Obviously, Dvorak is going to take that third line. The third line center. If Newhook is doing well at the second line center, put Monahan on the first line with Suzuki and Caulfield. And I know Anthony wanted Tanner Pearson, but I don't think that's going to happen. So
what a shot. I waited for now to listen to that. And when I heard the Tanner Pearson first line, I just shook my head.
It's a good shot, though. Come on.
Joey's like,
I mean, he did score.
My eyes were twitching. I went for a walk when I was listening to it. I went to get some air. And my eye was twitching.
On pace for 42 goals, guys.
Joey almost twisted an ankle.
I mean, he did score a goal and got a point. So, I mean, he has 2 points already, more than
he's on pace for a lot of points.
Hey, that was a nice goal. I guess, but
yeah.
Beautiful shot. Yeah. Well, he has a good shot, though. He's had a good shot.
I really hope he has a sick-ass season, man, just to fucking go back to this episode. I really hope. Hope he has a great season.
It's just age with him. If you actually see him now, he's 36. Tanner Pearson?
No, I think he's 33.
Yeah, hockey years he's old. But when he was in his prime in LA, he's a very good player. He mm-hmm. was part of that Toffoli line. Mm-hmm. That went for that cup run. Yeah. It was.
So I don't know.
You're right. Going back to it. Just to finish off, going back to it, I think you're right. I think it's going to be Monahan or obviously Newhook, who are versatile, which is what you need in the lineup, to sacrifice the center spot for when Dvorak comes back. I think that's the easy move to slot in. But
Monahan's good at center, though. Like, he's so smart.
I know. To me, it would be more Newhook, given his speed, and he's played the position a little less in Montreal. But, I mean, again, he'll evaluate.
So, wait a minute. So, you're thinking try Newhook on the wing with Suzuki and Caulfield? Keep Monahan second line center
Newhook,
with
just Newhook in general plays the wing, whether it's first line or second line, when Dvorak comes back. He was doing it when Doc was here. Dvorak doesn't play anything but center. So
No, for sure. But
only logical thing is Newhook goes back to the wing when Dvorak comes back.
Does the loss of Doc affect Slafkovský's development?
I don't think so.
It's a great question.
A lot of people are worried about that.
Now, if you let one player ruin your development, then it's not for you.
And Doc, out of all people, you know what I mean? Like, perfect point. If it's one player that's going to ruin your development, I think you're just not ready for the NHL, period. But
yeah, it can't be one.
Out of all
I people, think with a coach like Marty St. Louis, though, like, he's not going to let that happen. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So last season, before both Monahan and Slafkovský got injured, I actually thought Slafkovský looked his best when he was playing with Monahan.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember that Calgary game that ended Monahan's fucking season after, but like those two looked good together. Like,
yeah, we had a second line.
The opening faceoff, like Monahan made a play, Slafkovský comes in, puts the puck open in the empty net, but looked great doing it. I actually wouldn't mind seeing Monahan second line center with Slafkovský and Anderson, and maybe try Newhook on the top line with Suzuki and Caulfield.
Isn't Newhook a left winger, right?
That's okay. You put Caulfield on the right.
Yeah, I guess. I think Caulfield's been so used to the left with Suzuki, but that can work as well. I just know last year there was that chemistry with Slafkovský and Monahan, because that second line, we actually had an episode where we said, wow, we actually have a second line now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Monahan got injured.
And so I don't know, maybe
that can work as well. Yeah, but it's a new season. We don't know, but I think Monahan's gonna stick to the third for now, given his defensive abilities. I think he's gonna be there to shut other guys down. That's gonna be his role until Dvorak comes back, and then
exactly.
But who takes now Doc's spot in the lineup? Who comes in?
Oh, I think Pezzetta's coming in.
Okay.
If they're putting Harvey-Pinard on the first line,
yeah, it's
got they're definitely putting Pezzetta on the fourth line with Ilonen and Evans. It's a Laval line, basically. So
they play together.
Those three, they play together in Laval. True. Maybe not as much Evans, but I mean, he played with Alone in a little bit in Laval, like he knows him.
I don't know why they're not bringing up. I mean, maybe it's too soon, but Joshua Roy is on fire right now.
No,
on fire.
Talk about his development.
Why? You're not the first person to say this. For where is he going to play?
No, I know. I'm just excited to see them play and watching him in Laval. He's scoring these goals and
keep him there.
Let for development continue. Wise, yes. Development
let
wise,
him
yes.
Continue doing that. He's playing top 6 minutes, power play minutes. He's scoring goals. He's making plays. He's not going to be doing that here if he gets called up. Yeah. He's not. He's going to be what, third line?
You never know. But look at Bernard, what he did. He scored fucking more than most when he came up.
Yeah, but Harvey Bernard had 3 years as a pro.
Oh, it was 3 years.
Joshua Roy just played 2 games.
Okay. I didn't know he had 3 years.
We used to have this discussion like back in school, like a while ago, where we would talk about bringing players up. I don't remember who, I can't, but I remember the discussion specifically. And I always used to say, if you're not bringing up a player to play his role of what he's good at,
Max Pacioretty. Max Pacioretty.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it was Pacioretty, but if you're not bringing a player up to play his role, which Pacioretty back in the day was a goal scorer, top two line, you're going to play him third, fourth line, keep him in the minors. Same thing with Joshua Roy. If you're not bringing him up to play his strengths, there's no point of bringing him up. And the type of season we're going to have, I don't think these players should come in this early. I don't think there's a point of it. If you bring up anybody, it's from Laval, it's probably Armia. It's that type of player you're going to bring up.
Who scored two goals in his day. He has 3 goals now, I think. I know he has 2. He scored 2. But he's an NHL player. Like, let's be honest.
He is.
In Laval, he looks like a superstar. That's what it is. But I they're gonna wait and see. They're gonna get official report first. They're gonna wait and see what his status will be. If he does need surgery, he's probably gonna be out 6 to 9 months. I think
he will.
Sadly. Oh, God, yeah.
There's no months.
That's 6 months minimum.
Yeah, it's 6 to 9 months, and ACL, MCL tear are easily 6 to 9 months.
Again, nothing official, but if Eric Engels is reporting this, I mean, the guy's a reliable source, right? He has inside sources. I don't think he's coming out of left field here. So,
yeah.
Fuck, it sucks, man. I really wanted, like Joey said earlier, like he was the one guy I want to see progress big time. Like, I know Slavkovsky's on the list. You want to see Cole score more than 40 goals, Suzuki get 80 points. You know that's going to happen somewhere down the line. The real question was, okay, let's really see where Kirby Dach can go this year. And the fact that it fucking has to come to an end so quickly and so early. I'd rather get kicked in the balls than to see this shit happen.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was just too soon, and especially the preseason he had and how well he was playing the first 2 games. Oh, and man. I find the whole team, again, we're not perfect yet, but it's only 2 games, so relax, Anthony. But they there was a lot of good things that we saw in the first 2 games, you know? And there we go, 3 out of 4 points. And you know what? We could have been 4 points right now. You know, it was a stupid loss against Toronto.
Oh, my God.
And miss an open net last 2 minutes.
Just mistakes, right? And these are just minor mistakes for the early season start. Can't blame them. These things happen. Just what sucks is that it was two goal leads that we blew that game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're close to a third, right? With Caulfield, the offside. We were close to having 3. I think
that also changed the game a little bit, but I don't want to focus on that. I don't want really to say that changed the whole game. Yes, it would have been a whole different scenario, right? It would have been 3-0 at that point.
I think we underestimate a little bit how significant that Sheldon Keefe coach's challenge was for that team.
Yeah, of course. Two goal leads are the worst leads in hockey, but 3 goal leads are...
It's tough, man. It's pretty much done. A 3-goal lead is tough to come back. And I think Anthony's right on this one. Like, there were a lot more positives on that game, the season opener against the Leafs. I think there were a lot more positives than there were negatives, but unfortunately, the negatives outweigh the positives a little bit, if that makes sense.
Because of the loss and blowing those 2-0 leads,
those are the only two negatives I can really think of. I mean, you could add in Jake Allen a little bit, but I mean, he wasn't a negative, but he wasn't a he was neutral because he was awful in the third, but he was fucking brilliant in overtime. He was amazing in the first period.
Jake Allen saved us big time. Like,
but that's what I'm saying.
I just said
he was brilliant in overtime. He made that huge save against Matthew Knies.
Here's another negative. The amount, it's probably almost most of them, the amount of offensive zone penalties that the Habs got.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Well said there.
All while we're attacking. Makes zero fucking sense.
Yeah, like, you're right. And look, man, we all hate admitting it, but Toronto's lineup is
mental. Oh no.
Toronto's lineup is superior to Montreal, and we all know that, and I have no problem admitting it, even though I can't fucking stand them.
One player has all the goals of the Habs.
Well, okay. Can I ask you this question, Joey and Sam and everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is going to be an ongoing issue going the whole season. And we've been having this issue for who knows how long. I want to know, is it who we have on the ice or is it the coaching staff in regards to power plays?
It's both.
There's certain players that have certain characteristics to their game that in a pack create a fucking, you know, what you have on the ice. So you could put anybody behind the bench. If you're lacking a player who cuts in at the fucking, you know, at the left-hand circle, it's never going to happen. And then it's just going to be people passing back and forth and it's stagnant and that's it.
Well,
If you notice the teams that have the great power plays, they have firepower and they score when they're supposed to score. And they're always in movement.
Yeah,
and there's no drop fucking back pass. There's none of that shit. They all know where to go. It's like
they enter the zone. Zone entry is big, and one of Montreal's struggles on the power play is entering the zone cleanly. And other teams do it like 80 to 90%, and we do it less. Right about the players, but I think our forward unit, I was including Doc, can do it. I think the problem is a bit more coaching and the lack of a power play quarterback, which we haven't had in forever.
Yeah.
The last time our power play looked good besides the coaching was probably when we had Markov. That was the last time I think our power play looked great. And we still don't have the brain of the power play, which is the quarterback.
So
you need that.
100% we need that players. Because that, you know, those that extra goal that we can have just because of a power play can change the whole
outcome of the game. Special teams kind of determine your season. If they're bad, I don't think you're making playoffs. They need to be average, at least middle pack to, if not good, on both sides to be probably a playoff team. There are the odd exceptions. You'll have a team that's really bad, let's say on the power play, but they're super good at penalty kill, like, you know, it kind of evens out and maybe they score a little less on it, but they also give up a lot of they give up less. But most teams are at least middle pack to, let's say, to the top 10 if they're a playoff team.
25%
improve. Yeah. But the Leafs, that's the thing. And look, I was frustrated probably for the first time in forever when we lost. I've been so used to wanting to lose for 2 years for tanking. For the first pick, I wanted Montreal to win. I want to see progression. I don't think we're at a point anymore where we want to see tanking. I said a couple years for me, and you know it's over. And I stay true to it. And to be up 5-3 and to lose it, not be able to clear the puck, not score on a power play, and just feeling loose on a power play, knowing they can score at any time and we can't, it's super frustrating.
Goddamn Guy Boucher, huh? He had to fucking come up with.
Fucking hate him.
He had to come up with. a play with four
minutes
left to
pull the goal. You have to dance.
Like, fuck. And now he's doing that to our biggest rivals. Like, God fucking damn it.
I know. That's because
of, and that was that whole Klingberg stop, right? Because if that puck would have been cleared at that moment, the game was over. Right. Klingberg caught it, brought it down, and then Matthews scored that fucking
game. I'm there. I'm like, you have a whole left side open.
What a shot, Matthews, though, man. Come on.
Just use the boards. Yeah, but I have Matthews in my fantasy league. At like two games in a row, he scores a hat trick. Did me some good.
I don't get it.
Fuck, I don't get it.
Doesn't that hurt, Sam?
It does.
When having the opposite. I have that in football.
He was available. Dude, So I'm in a fantasy league with my colleagues, and I was drafting ninth. And Matthews was available at 9 overall. Like, I'm
who
like,
the fuck are you playing with?
Exactly.
Yeah. How the hell is
not Leaf fans.
How the hell is Matthews going 9?
Well, because there's McDavid, there's Draisaitl, there's McKinnon, there's Pastrnak, there's Makar.
I'd pick.
And then the other two, three.
Someone took I love Makar, but sorry to get sidetracked. Someone took Makar over Matthews.
I don't remember. All I know is that like I was next. I saw that Matthews was available. I'm like, this is a fucking no-brainer. I'm like, he's not gonna have a disappointing season like he did last year. Like he's gonna score at least 50 this year.
Disappointing season
in two games.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. Last year was disappointing.
Less than 50 for Matthews. What did he have?
But Zook, that's the expectation. That's when you're that good. Yeah. That's the expectation.
Like we would be like bowing down to him if we see him in the Canadian.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, what do you think Toronto fans are doing?
Zook, why do you think I've been crying for something like this for so many years just to have someone
like it's every 20 years you get a player like that. Like, what are the odds of that happening, Christ? That doesn't make
we
sense.
Got, Bedard, by we were, not we were two picks away from getting Crosby. We were two picks away from getting Bedard.
Crosby was close.
Like Zook, like last year, Matthew scored 40 goals.
Mental.
That's disappointing after a 60-goal season.
He's going to hit 80 goals this year.
If Caulfield scores 40, like in your words, jizz.
Jizz. Like, yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, Matthew scored
the standard. That's the standard I want Montreal to eventually raise. Because scoring 40 should be nothing. You want Joey, to score Mitch, 50, 60.
Now, I agree with you, Joey, but Michkov's not going to be that guy, by the way.
Whether he is or not, I think he can be. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm just busting your balls. But
if he hits an 80-point season, that's to me, that's where I would say I'll mistake. But anyway,
80-point is that level. Yeah. That's the beginning of that.
But we need more than that.
No, we don't even have a guy that hits that. Why don't we start with 80 before we go
60 fucking points merits you a $10 million contract almost? Like,
so
thank you, Zook. Again, Sam, before you continue. Our last 80-point player was 2007.
That's insane.
2007, 2008, Kovalev with 84.
Kovalev, yeah.
Yeah, that's our last 80, not 100-point player.
I know. We've said so.
It's tough, man.
I know that. I know, but this is – I agree. And you have a guy like that on the power play
but
for the Canadians.
However, though, I think the approach of the Canadians is to have more of a balanced team. So – less of those top-end players and have a lot of 20-goal scores.
If I don't know. Available, they'll get
it. Would you rather have a lot of 20, 25-goal scores or a few 20 and 160-goal score? What wins you more games?
Well, I mean, at the same time, too. Okay, listen, you have 160-goal scorer. And
in the playoffs, you shut down Matthews.
That if he's not scoring 60, but you get another three guys that are scoring 20, it's the same thing.
It all depends, Zook, in the end, who has more goals. Is it the team that has 60 with few around them or the bunch of 20s? I just go by the overall number. I don't know. In terms of sustainability, you always need a balance.
When you have more.
Look, Zook, for sure, you
always need a balance. But superstars are still going to win you, are still likely going to win you the cup. Hmm. Look at Vegas. Look at Tampa Bay. I'm not talking Toronto. That's a bad example. Tampa Bay have guys who could score with their eyes closed and who can pass the puck with their eyes closed. They have three or four guys like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's just something Hughes needs to do, like who hopefully gets around to getting
But that time will come. It's just right now, back to our conversation about the Toronto game, and just in general for this season, we need to really improve on our special teams because I find, you know, we do have a decent team. I think we do. And if we can get a little better in that category, it could really help us in the long run for this season. You know, like, just go back to the Toronto game. How many times were we in that penalty box? You know, Suk, you said it. That was a negative. That caused us to lose this game because of all the times in the penalty. So imagine the power plays. If we scored some goals there, then it could have, like you said, Joey, a balance of, you know, stopping the penalty kill but scoring the power play, or the other way around. But we couldn't do either. You know, we were letting power play goals go in, and we couldn't score a power play goal.
That's been our issue for a long time. At least 2 years. Before that, we had a good penalty kill when we made the finals, and before that, but we've had a shit power play since Markov. They've been dropping the puck since 2017, 2018. Like, it's been years they've been doing it. That famous drop the puck. I thought it was finally gone when he was gone, but lo and behold, it's not.
So Arbor Jack, I won the fight. Yep.
Did you hear what Reeves said? He's like, "Oh, if you want to fight, let's fight. Don't just push me around, like, or something like that."
He thinks he jumped him or something. Dude, Arbor Jack, I clearly, when he grabbed Reeves, clearly looked at him and was like, "Let's go." And Reeves was like, "Okay," and actually threw a fucking wicked first punch, and Jack Ice stood up. Like, it's Reeves's ego getting hurt. And I hope he doesn't hear this, because he could fucking whip all our asses with one punch. But
one touch.
Yeah. When Reeves punches me out, he knocks you guys out too. Like, that's just what happens. But
dude, I want Jack out to fight. What's his name? Oh, it's gonna bother me. The guy who always gets suspended. Is it Wilson?
From Washington?
Yeah, I think it's... maybe Tom Wilson. I probably will. But all that to say is, listen, fucking Ryan Reeves, like, did he really expect that nothing was going to happen after he fucking hit Gouley from behind?
No, of course.
Like, that's his ego that got fucking hurt. That's all.
Yeah, okay, so, and when did this penalty start? This rule came about in regards to it.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? It's new. Yeah, but I don't know if it's new from this season, but
so fucking stupid.
It's because I think I don't know. I have to double check the rule book here.
They don't want fighting anymore, Ant. So
no, but I think that's the problem. Fuck. I think if a guy drops the gloves, grabs someone, and then that person drops the gloves, the first guy to drop was instigating. If they both drop and go,
what if they don't drop their gloves? See, that's what's gonna happen. You're gonna have players less dropping the gloves, and now they're gonna hit each other with gloves
on. But it's not everybody that's gonna do that to everybody. It's like Jack Eye is gonna do that to Ryan Reeves because he knows Ryan Reeves fights.
But every team has at least one enforcer, like one tough
enforcer
guy.
Yeah, so it's good. That's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be but
they're gone for 10 minutes a game or 17 minutes nowadays.
You do that, well, you're gonna have to drop the gloves with the other tough guy, or like if you do a cheap shot, you're gonna have to answer the bell. Yeah, so
they should just let it be fight. Fuck, it's hockey, dude.
Like, yeah, but that's, I know, but they're
trying to avoid it.
They don't want it anymore because the softies don't like it. I mean, it's okay. You don't have to like it. It's
like
okay.
Football. Yeah, just don't go for the knees as much. You know, like, just, you know, it's like, no, it's a fucking game. Play, hit. That's what it is. Like, you can't fight. You don't play hockey. You go play tennis or something. Golf, like,
or soccer. You can't.
I don't know what they're trying to do, man. It's hockey. It's like, it's physical.
Yeah,
man.
I know. Well, they're worried that like they're trying to say that it's the fighting that causes concussions, all that. It's bullshit.
Look at Manis Richard. He used to lift couches and, you know, and do deliveries and then play hockey and get smashed, and he never complained. He used to deliver fucking furniture for a living.
Yeah, but those society like that.
That's a man.
That's a man, exactly. Not the version of man in 2023 for many reasons. And also, that's just society had to be a lot tougher back then. So,
do you believe what George Laroque says,
dude? Did you see Laroque? He was so pumped, but finally.
Do you believe he trained him?
Yes, I do. Is that true? Okay, no. Yes, because on the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro during the off season, I listened to the episode where he said he wants to train Arbor Jack Eye when it comes to fight against Ryan Reeves. He goes, because Jack Eye's strong. I'm sure he could fight. He just needs some technique training. And fuck, he, and I'm sure he did. That's why Jack Eye was able.
He was not bullshitting.
He was. Cool. I don't think he's bullshitting at all.
That's cool.
I don't think he is. And like, I was hoping, pray to God that he did get that. Jack Eye did get some. LaRock
still looks big.
LaRock is a fucking tank. He's a tank. He's a fucking beauty, George LaRock. I think I love him even more as like a hockey analyst. But yeah, listen, look, the game against Toronto was a perfect season opener, a rivalry game. You know, it had everything. It had goals. It had a fight. It had back and forth. You know, it's as a hockey fan, I enjoyed it. As a Canadiens fan, it hurt a little bit to see them blow the 2-goal lead and lose in shootouts. But on the overall, listen, if you're a Canadiens fan, as disappointing as it is, it's a good sign. And if you're a Toronto fan, I don't give a shit, you should be scared, because this is a rebuilding team. It's a rebuilding team, and you had to fight back twice to come back, and you could only win it in shootout, and you allowed 5 goals? You should be very fucking scared against other contending teams. That's all I'm going to say.
I give it a little bit of time. I know where you're going with that, Sam, but it's the first game for everybody.
Don't defend. Joe, what are you doing?
I'm not defending it. If it was
you are.
For the first time, I'm going to kind of slide in and agree with Joey, only because.
It's the first game, Sam.
Habs Toronto always have a high-scoring game. It's always been like that. It's the rivalry they have within each other. Put talent aside, they always score a bunch of goals against each other. It is what it is.
Yeah, Anthony's right. They do.
Oh, Anthony's right. Chris came right on right. Time.
Yeah, when you're right, Anthony. It's not often, but...
Patriots suck this year. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right.
Where's my cousin Chris? Oh, look at that. He's in the fucking car.
Is this unprofessional of me to be
very unprofessional. You're out.
1,000%, but...
Yeah, okay. I had to at least pop in and say hello.
We'll make do, but Chris, I have Anthony and Joey fucking defending the Maple Leafs.
Let's add some context here, Chris. And I get where Sammy is going, but I'm also going to agree where Joey is going. So basically,
Sam said
that. Be careful, Toronto. You let in 5 goals against the Habs, blah, blah, blah. You know, be scared about the team, which is correct because we have a good team. But history always notes that the Habs and Toronto always have high-scoring games, no matter the talent. They always score 5-6 goals each. Chris, which side are you on here?
Plus, I'll add, before you say, Chris, it's the first game of the season for everybody.
Yeah, I think, like, this Austin Matthews scoring 6 goals in 2 games, for example, good for him. And like he is one of the game's elite goal scorers. But if I may say, I think a lot of teams just haven't got their defensive shit together, so to say, just yet. And these high scoring games that we see, it's very common year after year. Joey, I think you're 100% right. Year after year, you see these crazy starts to the seasons, guys scoring hat tricks in the first game. But there is a balance to it. There definitely is a balance in that when Montreal plays Toronto in the rivalry games, there is a tendency for the score to be a lot more close. But I don't know. I think Toronto got worse this year than instead of last year. Like, I thought they had better supporting players last year. So I don't know what the fuck the fans are happy about. If we address the Ryan Reeves situation and I give my opinion on it, I just want to say, just don't be stupid about it. To manhandle and to push and to move a fucking 240-pound man, 200 if not heavier, like Jack Eye did, it's not because you got fucking lucky. It's because you're a monster of a man. And can you just admit that Jack Eye won the fight? So then continuing on, Toronto, you got weaker overall as a total team. Freaking Ryan Reeves is going to be in the minors by the time the Habs face off with one another the next time around. And three, just like, I don't have any confidence. I still think out of the Canadian teams, Toronto might have the advantage over every single one of them. But I seriously do not again see these guys. I think neither of these teams had an outlier game, which means Toronto is as not good as they think, and Montreal is not as bad as they think. So in about 2 minutes, that's the sum of my thoughts and opinions on what happened in that game, what Montreal is like, and what Toronto is like for the year.
And I'll add, Sam, remember last year, Habs played Leafs 4 times. They went 2-2. For as bad as Montreal was and as good as Toronto was, we actually split the season series. Everything goes out the window when they played each other. I think they only – Leafs only beat Montreal, which was the February game and the late April game. I think Habs gave up. No Caulfield and everybody was gone. But the first 2 games, actually, the Canadians won.
Yeah, so, Toronto still sucked at the end of the day, so – they can't go far. This team can't. They can't go far. They suck.
I agree. They're just shit. It's the first game of the season, so I don't think they have. Everybody has their.
Okay, I'm done.
Shit together. So
I'm done talking about Toronto.
Let's move on to the
home opener against Chicago, and much better game. 1-3-2.
We almost blew it though because they hit the post right at the end.
Yeah, I know. Christ. And it's against.
And again, that was another issue of clearing. They don't use the boards enough, like you said, Sam. So, but put that aside. Let's just, before we get into the game, I'm a bit disappointed in one thing with our fan base. And I know this, we want to add some rivalry and stuff, but to boo Bedard, I find that was very stupid.
I mean, why
is this no?
That Boston, was a compliment. Boston did not boo Bedard and Pittsburgh did not boo Bedard.
Habs fans boo everybody. No. Boo everybody that's good.
There you go.
It's to get them.
I guarantee if Bedard would have scored, they would have cheered. It's just to get him off his game.
It's more of a you're really good and you're not with us type of.
That's what it is. That's all it is.
There you go.
Yeah. And the Habs booed Subban, man. Like the guy who fucking pledged millions of dollars to Montreal, the Habs still booed him. And I'm sure if Price would be traded and be healthy playing somewhere else and we play against Price, we're going to boo the shit out of Price. So,
Bedard is like no special. They gave him a standing ovation. Remember that? We were watching in your basement. They gave him a standing ovation.
You saw the like, Super
yeah,
game,
welcome
right?
back. Yes, yeah, we miss you and all that. It's all business. It's nothing. I don't think it's anything personal. When he touches the puck, okay.
Well, yeah.
They booed Kovalev a little bit too. It's
yeah.
It's to
not
get
Bedard.
I don't think there's a hate at all
did
behind
they boo
it.
Koivu when he was with Anaheim when he was traded?
Not as much. No, they cheered when he got a. I remember they cheered when he got a penalty.
But yeah.
I remember that.
But they didn't boo. I think it was a different thing with Koivu. We went through so much, captain. It was a little different from even guys like Kovalev.
Yeah, exactly.
But onto what I was going to say, onto the game itself, actually, the Habs, one thing I did like is they, for the most part, besides towards the end, they almost blew it, they looked like the better team, which they should. Last year, I found even in games we were playing teams like San Jose, Arizona, who else? We even finished Columbus. Who finished last place? The Ducks? I find we looked worse.
Chicago
finished third last.
It was Anaheim.
Yeah, it was the Ducks because Chicago finished.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
Chicago right, didn't finish last and got the first overall. I find in those games we actually, I think on paper we're better. Even though we're rebuilding, I still think we're better than some of those teams I mentioned. But we actually looked worse on the ice. So for once, we're the better team and we actually looked like the better team. Which was nice to see.
Can I ask, did you guys discuss, and I'm sorry if I'm having you repeat, but have you noticed the change in the puck movement with the Canadians this year? Like the tic-tac-toe plays, the movement in the offensive zone. I thought after 2 games, like I just simply put, I find this team a lot more creative with the puck and a lot more free to do stuff. I'm not going to even address the Kirby Dach situation. I know you guys covered that, and I'm going to be shedding a tear later tonight with that news, but just to say, do you not find the Canadians a lot more of a? They're pretty dominant offensively. They're very interesting and they're unpredictable.
They seem quicker for sure, Chris. They seem better in transition. They seem a lot faster. They seem quicker with their decisions. So 5-on-5, I definitely agree. The one I cannot agree, which for me it still baffles me, is the power play. How they're not they're they seem just as bad as they were last 2 years.
I still think they're very predictable on the power play. It's one guy at the point. If they're doing the 1-3-1 formation where you have Suzuki coming on the lower right side,
the umbrella.
The defenseman. I don't know if they're doing the umbrella. I think they're doing the 1-3-1, which has Suzuki that's circulating as on the bottom right, but he gets that pass and he goes in and he's going to do either two things. Either he's going to shoot it or he's going to try to find Caulfield across.
But the only two guys that move are them two, are Caulfield and Suzuki.
Okay, we had this conversation last year, Joey, you and I, and I remember, and I know you're probably going to say the same thing right now, but I want to kind of change it a little bit. I find they have no sense of urgency on the power plays.
No, at all.
Okay. Zero sense of urgency.
Agreed.
And they're waiting for the perfect play to take the shot. And last year I made that comment. You said, well, it's important to wait for that opening because if you miss and it's getting blocked, there might be a breakaway. That was the exact words, your rebuttal to my comment last year. But if you look at other teams, it doesn't matter. And it goes back to what you said right now about only two players move to – there's only two players that are moving, right? If everybody had that sense of urgency and everybody found an opening, they might have more opportunities to take the shot. And like you said, Sam or Chris, very predictable. They're always waiting for that perfect moment. It takes them about a minute and 10 seconds off the power play just to take that first shot. Yeah. Like, just take that risk.
That part of the minute is because they, again, this season we haven't seen enough yet, but they always struggle and I want to pull my hair out, rip my shirt. I can't tell you how many things I want to break when I see this. It takes them about a minute to get into the zone if they lose the face-off and it's dumped out. It takes a full minute to get into the zone. And I look at that clock every fucking time with my two eyes. I'm staring it down. I'm barely staring at them getting into the zone, and they're not there until the one-minute mark. That is absolutely brutal. Like, especially for me that loves numbers,
stats. There's not much that could be done, though.
Joey, your TV disobeys the laws of fucking physics and whatever.
Everything does.
If you don't have players, though, that are specialists in power plays, then what do you expect?
But Zook, to enter the zone, that's the problem. It takes them a full minute. I'm looking at it. Like, my eyes are twitching.
Well, you know what? Nervous. You know what, Joey, to that point, Joey, fuck, on top of it being fucking frustrating, go back. What the fuck got Doc injured? That stupid drop fucking back pass on the power play where one guy's skating through. Yeah, look, that's how fucking Doc got injured. He had to skate through, literally. There are 10 guys on the ice. There were 9 fucking players ahead of him. Doc is skating on the side, goes to the side, doesn't see fucking Tenorti coming. Bam. MCL, ACL, done. That stupid fucking drop pass.
Yeah.
It's enough. And that's not the way to get into the zone, to your point. So, amen to that.
Dump and chase.
Yeah. And it's been like that for years. I don't know if it was before Burrows, but it's been like that for years. I don't get Anthony's favorite
dump and chase.
Dump and chase is
passing back now at this point.
Honestly.
But dump and chase is just as bad as the drop back.
It is, but I still
I can't stand the dump and chase. But what I'm saying is that I kind of prefer that now than the drop back because we are a faster team right now. That's true. If we were to do the dump and chase, we might even have more success that way than the whole fucking passing back.
Yes, but if they're reverting to a dump and chase strategy, means I don't know, means they.
No, I'm not agreeing to that statement at all. I'm
exactly.
Not saying
I want them to do
the dump.
If they do a dump and chase, because that means they have no puck carriers.
Yeah, but again, Sam, you have a numerical advantage. If that's what you're going to resort to, or the puck drop, which does not work. I don't know what to tell you more. I give up. I'm a loss for words.
But I don't get it too, Sammy.
To say. Like, they're not in sync to enter the zone without dropping the puck.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Dumping it. They're not because in sync, the unit on the ice.
But I don't get on 5-on-5, they have no issues transporting the puck, is what I'm saying. So why? It's not the case, it's five on four, one advantage.
Zook, because it's different. A lot of the times when you're going to the zone, it's an odd man rush ish, kind of. Mm. And you know, and you have two guys, maximum three, that are back checking on a penalty kill. It's everybody.
They're all in.
There's nobody in the offensive zone trying to score. And when you get the puck out, you're going up against the other defenseman. It
comes down to passing and hockey IQ.
There's on a 5-on-5 when you're rushing into the offensive zone.
I'm saying
as much as it doesn't sound like it makes sense, you have more open room in the sense that if you have an odd man rush, well, you can go into the zone without having worried about getting intercepted by another two forwards.
Yeah, usually on a throw on two back, right? There's four guys back. They're probably in a box, in some sort of box form. And you have two forwards plus a two defensemen in front of you.
Not just that. They're covering the line. They're covering the line. Because if they were to, if the guys on the penalty kill, if they're backing in as the guy with the puck carrier and the power play is coming in, then you're giving him the room. But they don't do that.
Exactly.
You stand still on the blue line. The other forwards of the Canadiens, they can't do anything unless the puck carrier comes in. But if he's going up against guys that are standing on the blue line, it takes a simple poke check. He loses the puck.
And that's
why every time Suzuki had to do this, now Newhook is doing it. That's why when they go in, they have to try to flick the puck over the other guy's stick that's standing on the blue line, and hoping that the other winger can carry it or can pick it up.
Exactly.
And if you miss that, forget it. The puck is getting dumped down down your zone again.
And it doesn't help that they're still not one of the better teams in terms of faceoffs. It hasn't shown. It's not as bad as it used to be, but that doesn't help because that means on the penalty kill, on the power play, you lose that first draw. You're getting to a situation where you got into the zone, which is not a strong suit of your game. So, although, like I said, decent game by Montreal, I thought they played better for the most part. There's certain things that still linger from... Goodbye, Chris.
He's coming back.
There's still certain things that linger that doesn't show improvement from last season, season before, which I would expect Montreal to have, because these players, again, we want them to grow. If they're going to grow, well, these areas have to grow in. Suzuki, besides just getting the 80 points, whatever, the 30 goals, or what we did the over and under for the 80 points, he's got to do better at faceoffs. And other guys, they got to do better at zone entries. And defensemen, well, zone exits. A lot of these things are important, and that's what we're going to see this season, is if they can truly figure that out.
No, absolutely, and you know, I, at the end of the day, I'm happy they got the 2 points against Chicago. I think you know, there's a lot more. Again, it comes back to that game against Toronto, and even this one, there's a lot more positive than negatives. But unfortunately, the negatives outweigh this. The game against Chicago, the negative was that outweighs everything. Is Kirby Dach getting fucking injured that game?
Yeah, and it's not a negative you can say on the team. That's just.
No, but it's a negative point that happened, or I don't know. It's not a team play how they played, but yeah, no, it's cool to think that for now, like the first two games, they got 3 out of 4 points.
If you do stop the count, you know, and everyone does stop the count. If you stop the count now, we're in the playoffs. Just saying.
If I was able to control time, you end the season now, but it's March or it's April, sorry, make the playoffs.
We make the playoffs, yeah. That's true.
I'll take it.
Well, I think Malkin said Kirby the same Dach comment this week. If he were to end the season now, he'd be a Hart Trophy winner or something like that.
Malkin.
No.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else, boys, you need to add before we wrap this up?
No, just a lot of positivity. I know it's only two games, and I don't want to put our hopes up, but like I said at the beginning of our first podcast of the season, I'm just excited to watch this team, and they're showing the signs that I've been wanting to see, and I just hope better.
Yeah, I agree. You know what I want to see? Actually, Joel, speak of power, I want to see Caden Gooley get a chance on the power play.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
I don't mind. Like, Jacki, I love the guy. I don't think he's a power play defenseman.
I have a feeling he will, though.
I want to see Caden Gooley get a chance on the power
play.
Jacki, the only thing I think he's good at or decent at that maybe he's better than another defenseman is his shot doesn't get blocked. It finds a way to the net.
His wristers are always on fucking net. I can't believe
it. Yes. Other than that, though, he doesn't bring anything to the power play.
No, he's not. He's not offensive. That's why. Like, Caden Gooley's a two-way.
And Gooley's his skating is beautiful.
Oh, unreal!
For the power play, that's what you want. Fuck.
And this is why this is I'm hoping because didn't Gouley kind of suffer a same injury ish last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's recovered and like he's skating well. So like this is what I'm hoping for, Doc.
Oh yeah, I'm not worried. I think they're doing the right call by being very careful. Don't rush him in.
Yeah. So the Canadiens play Tuesday night, the Minnesota Wild. I think Marc-Andre Fleury might get his last start at the Bell Center in front of his
hometown.
I guess hometown, family, friends. So it's gonna be interesting to see the Canadiens. Look, they gotta pick up from where they left off. At least they're doing better than the Laval Rockets. They haven't won a game yet. And I'm going to be heading there actually Wednesday night. I'm going to Laval Rockets game Wednesday night. So I'm actually looking forward to that.
Nice.
And yeah, it's still early in the season, but lots more can happen. And please, no more injuries. Like, if the hockey gods can hear
Let's not say the word injury yet. When it's the last time we said it.
It's the last time we mentioned injury.
Every time
we
say it, it's like.
Every time we say injury.
Record year of
fucking like, we got to stop saying the word injury.
Yes, let's take that cloud and shoot away.
So no more injuries. We don't say injury anymore.
What word is that? Where did you come up?
I don't know.
What's a derivative?
I have no idea. But what'd you say? Oh, I think we have one more person coming in. Hold on, guys.
You got the dual Chris cam.
Hell no.
I wanted to say one last thing before. I realized
it's going to affect the upload, so I'll just stick to just stick to this over here for the rest of this one. If there's one thing that I can say, or two things actually, the Canadians keep getting hit and hit hard. I don't think teams have been holding their hits against us. I want the Canadians to finish their checks and do it with meaning. And yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. You guys named the power play. You guys said all these different things. I think I'm 100% in agreement, but one of the things like Joey, you were saying, it has you pulling your hair to see the Canadians 1 minute into the power play struggling.
And he's gone.
I was just about to say bye, Joey. But for example, when you see the Canadians struggling to get into the zone, pulling of my hair comes when I see the fucking Canadians getting bullied and some of their. I know they've had that Wolfpack mentality, but beyond that Wolfpack mentality, I don't want them to be reactive. I want them to go and set the tone, send a message, smash them. Don't fucking hold your hits. Chicago, man, they came out like fucking hitting hard, and hats off to them. That's the way the Canadians should be playing. They have, especially on the back end, until Lane Hudson gets there. I swear to God, there's not one excuse to not be smashing everything that moves. And please, for the love of God, smash everything that moves.
All right, I think we're gonna smash our way out of this episode. So, if anybody else has any final words.
Sam Montembeau, he played well.
Sam Montembeau, boom, played well. Actually, I don't know if he gets a start tomorrow.
I think they're leaning towards him.
I think they're
playing two games this week, right? So they're going to split. I'm sure they're going to split.
Yeah, probably. And we'll wait and see what they do with Primo. So, well, if that's that, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Curfew Boys. Listen, we're going to have to move on, like Marty said, with this Kirby Doc injury. Life goes on, the NHL goes on, and hockey goes on. So thank you all for tuning in. Please, if you loved what you heard, like and subscribe on YouTube. It is free. It costs absolutely nothing. It'll just help us grow and make us better. You can hear all our episodes on your podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I think TikTok, I think Threads. And whatever other fucking social media platform comes out. Gentlemen, thank you so much for doing this episode. Chris, thanks for coming in for the final 10 minutes.
If you made it to the end of this episode, this episode's cold is
injuries.
Patriot season over. That's it. Happy Joey. The Patriots season is over.
No,
we're
gonna lay off. we're gonna lay off the Gallagher trash talking, and we're gonna start the New England Patriots trash talking. So
you can trash all your way. I'm done for the season. I'm gonna be still supporting them, but it's done.
Code phrase is Patriots suck.
Could they still make the playoffs at 1-5?
It's over.
All right.
Well, if they win every single game, but whatever, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah. So fuck the Patriots. Okay. Awesome. Love it, gentlemen. Until our next meeting. Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.